Praise the Lord. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer before we go to His Word? Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the great love and the great grace, O Lord, that You have shown us. We thank You, Lord, for all that You have given us. First and foremost, that You have given Your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank You, Lord, for the gift of faith that You've bestowed upon us. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us Your Spirit to help us fight sin in our lives, to help us to know the truth and walk in the truth. Heavenly Father, we also thank You for Your church. Thank You that You have provided a place for us in this world of tribulation, a place where we can be nourished and taken care of, a place where we can be protected against the wiles of the devil and his deceptions. Thank You for all of these things. And Father, we thank You that You have provided Your Word for us, that You have given us Your Word, the Scriptures, to guide us, to help us, to lead us, to encourage us, to build us up. We thank You for this, O Lord, and we pray also that Your preached word today will be a blessing to Your people, and Your people will be edified by it. We pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, last Sunday, we preached on the book of Revelation, and by God's grace, we will do so next Sunday. But our sermon for today is a sermon by J.C. Ryle. Or rather, it is actually an article by J.C. Ryle that reads very, very well as a sermon. 2 weeks ago, for those who were following and for those who remember, we also listened to a sermon by J.C. Ryle, a sermon that emphasized the importance of prayer in the Christian life. This time, the topic is Bible reading and the importance of Bible reading in the life of a Christian. And the scriptures for today is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29. Let us quickly read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, "From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And the second scripture from Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, it says, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures." Amen. Now, next to prayer, Bible reading is the most important Christian duty. The Bible is able to make us wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, as we just read in 2 Timothy 3:15. By reading it, we can learn what we should believe, what we should be, and what we should do. We can learn how to live with spiritual comfort and how to die in spiritual peace. Happy is the man who not only reads the Bible, but also obeys it and makes it the standard of his faith and practice. Let me give you 8 plain reasons why everyone who cares about his salvation should prize the Bible, study it regularly, and become thoroughly familiar with what it says. And the first plain reason that I will give you is, there is no other book like the Bible. There is no other book in existence which was written like the Bible. The Bible is completely different from any other book. It was inspired by God, as 2 Timothy 3:16 says. God taught the writers of it what to say, putting thoughts and ideas into their minds and guiding their pens to write them down. When you read the Bible, you are reading the words of God Himself. From beginning to end, the Bible is the Word of God, and it alone is absolutely perfect. I shall not waste time trying to prove the inspiration of the Bible. The book itself is its own best witness. It is the greatest standing miracle in the world, and nothing but divine inspiration can account for it. We know, of course, that different writers of the Bible write in their own different styles. Isaiah writes differently from Jeremiah, and Paul writes differently from John. But this is only like a man playing on different musical instruments. His breath will produce different sounds according to whether he's playing a flute or a pipe or a trumpet. But it is the same breath that produces each sound. In the same way, it is God Himself who inspired each and every one of the human writers of the Bible so that every chapter, every verse, and every word is from God. If only people who are troubled with questions about the Bible would take and read it for themselves, how many problems and objections would disappear immediately? And how many people would discover God for themselves in His book? How important it is, then, that you should read the Bible. Now, second plain reason why we should prize the Bible, study it regularly, and become familiar with it, with what it says. That second plain reason is the Bible tells us all we need to know for salvation. The Bible tells us all we need to know for salvation. Everything you need to know to be saved is found in the Bible. We live in days when human knowledge has increased enormously. Education is more widespread than at any time in history. This is good, but we must remember that if we have the best education possible and yet do not know the truths revealed in the Bible, we shall not be saved from hell. Remember, a man may have an amazing knowledge of every kind of subject and not be saved. Death brings an end to all human achievements. On the other hand, a man may be quite ignorant and illiterate and yet be saved. If he has heard the great truths of the Bible with his ears and believe them in his heart, his soul will be saved. Knowing the truths of the Bible is more important by far than any other sphere of knowledge. Third plain reason. The Bible deals with matters of great importance than any other book. The Bible deals with matters of great importance than any other book. No other book contains matters of such importance as the Bible. It is the Bible which tells us God's great plan of salvation and the way in which our sins can be forgiven. Without the Bible, we should know nothing of the coming of the Lord into the world to save sinners, nothing of His dying in our place, the righteous in the place of the unrighteous, nothing of the justification of every sinner who believes in Jesus, nothing of the willingness of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to save even the worst of men. It is the Bible which tells us about the life and character of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great mediator between God and men. Four separate witnesses record His ministry and His miracles. They tell us about His life and teaching, His death and resurrection, His power, love, kindness, and patience. They tell us about these things so plainly that no one can fail to understand them. The Bible also tells us about the lives of good people. Many were people just like us with all our problems. The Bible does not attempt to hide their mistakes and their weaknesses. It reminds us that the Savior of these people is ready to be our Savior too. The Bible also contains many important warnings drawn from the lives of bad people to remind us that the God who punished their sins will punish us as well if we cling to our sins. The Bible contains many precious promises to encourage those who love God. It gives us deep insight into the character of man. Where else could we learn about all these things? How important that we should read the Bible. Plain reason number four. The Bible produces more wonderful effects than any other book. The Bible produces more wonderful effects than any other book. No other book has ever produced such a wonderful effect on men as the Bible. This is the book whose teaching turned the world upside down, as we read in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, in the days of the apostles. The apostles were a handful of men sent out to challenge the superstition, false religion, and immorality of the world. They had no worldly weapons to force their message on anyone, and no riches to bribe anyone to believe. But they were armed with this book, and in a few generations they completely changed the conditions of society. In the days of the Reformation, this book transformed Europe. 600 years ago, great darkness covered the Christian church. A great change had come over Christianity, so that it was hardly recognizable anymore. Then, men began to translate the Bible into the languages of the people, and the church was transformed again. Similar things have happened at other times. What great wickedness existed in Israel in the days of its kings? But this is not surprising, since the law of the Lord had been lost, thrown aside in a corner of the temple, until it was found in the days of Josiah, as we read in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8. The Bible has brought great blessings to nations where its message has been widely received. It has led to good laws, to higher standards of morality, to the great blessing of the Sabbath day, to the founding of compassionate institutions for the sick, the poor, old people, and orphans. These have seldom been found in countries which have not had the Bible. Plain reason number five. The Bible does more than any other book for its readers. The Bible does more than any other book for its readers. No book can do so much for those who read it properly as the Bible can. The Bible deals with matters far more important than how to succeed in this present life. It deals with matters of eternal life. The Bible is able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, as we read. It can show you the way to heaven. It can teach you everything you need to know and believe, and everything you need to do to be saved. It can show you yourself a sinner. It can show you God in all his holiness. And it can show you the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can reconcile you to God. It is the Bible which the Holy Spirit uses to convert sinners. He brings its truth home to their conscience, and through the truth he works a moral miracle in their lives. Day by day, throughout the world, all kinds of people are experiencing this miracle of the new birth brought about by the Holy Spirit through the Bible. The Bible is the chief means by which Christians grow after they have been converted. The Holy Spirit uses his own word either as it is read privately or as it is preached publicly to cleanse and sanctify them, to instruct them in righteousness, and to equip them for all good works. For evidence of this, please consult Psalm 119, verse 9, John 17, verse 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. And I'll repeat, maybe if you want to write it down. Psalm 119, verse 9, John 17, verse 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. The Bible can show you how to live your everyday life in a way that pleases God. It can teach you to endure hardship and even persecution, and to think about death and the coming judgment without fear. It can awaken you when you are spiritually drowsy. It can comfort you when you are sad. It can bring you back when you are going astray. It can give you strength when you are weak. It can keep you from evil when you are with others. And it can speak to you when you are alone. It can do all these things, even for the most insignificant Christian. If the Holy Spirit is living in your heart and you have the Bible in your hand, you have everything that is absolutely necessary for your Christian life. Even if you were put in prison and cut off completely from other Christians, you would have in your possession God's infallible guide for life. Some people complain that the Bible contains many things that are hard to understand. This is perfectly true, but it is no reason to stop reading it. The fault lies in our understanding, not in the Bible itself. And it is only as we continue to read it that we shall understand it more. We certainly must not be deterred by the hard things, for there are also many things which are perfectly clear and easy. The great truths which we must understand in order to be saved are plain for all who desire to know them. It would be extremely foolish to ignore what we can understand because of the parts which are difficult. Other people complain that not everyone who reads the Bible gets from it the benefits I have been speaking about. The answer is simple. Those who do not benefit from reading the Bible are not reading it the right way. The Bible must be read with humility and with prayer, or we cannot expect it to do us any good. No one who reads the Bible with a childlike and persevering spirit will ever miss the way to heaven. God's word is strictly true when it says that if you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, did you hear that? If not, let me repeat that. God's word is strictly true when it says, if you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 2 through 5. Amen. Plain reason number 6. The Bible is the only standard by which all questions about doctrine or Christian duty can be decided. Plain reason number six, did I read? The Bible is the standard of Christian doctrine and duty. The Bible is the Christian is the standard of Christian doctrine and duty. The Bible is the only standard by which all questions about doctrine or Christian duty can be decided. God knows that his children need to have an infallible standard of what is true and what is right. And he has graciously given us just that in the Bible. We should be extremely grateful for this, because there is so much confusion in the world about Christian doctrine and about Christian practice. There is much confusion about Christian doctrine. Different churches give different answers, even to the most important questions about the Christian faith. Roman Catholics and Protestants, Evangelicals and Liberals, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses all claim to have the truth, yet what one teaches is totally different from what another says. How can anybody find the truth when things are so confusing? There is only one answer. God himself has given us an infallible standard of truth in the Bible. We must take it as our standard. We must believe nothing which is not in accord with the Bible. It does not matter who says that something is true. It does not matter what his status in the church may be. What he says must be tested by the Bible. A man may be a Christian minister or pastor, but still, what he says must be tested by the Bible. If he is a true minister, he will be very happy for you to do this. Indeed, he will encourage you to read the Bible and to check for yourself whether his teaching is true. Only a false teacher will ask you to believe on his own authority or on the authority of his church. The aim of every true minister is always to help you to see the truth for yourself in the Word of God. There is also much confusion about Christian practice. Every Christian who really desires to do what is pleasing to God will have to make decisions about all kinds of practical questions. He will be confronted with questions relating to his daily work. Probably there will be certain things which almost everybody does, but which do not seem to him to be quite right. And away from work, there are sure to be questions about how to spend his time. Many people engage in forms of entertainment which raise questions as to whether they are wise and right. And there will be questions relating to his family life. What standards of behavior should apply here? Is something all right just because other people who call themselves Christians are doing it? Again, there can be only one answer to all these questions. The Bible must be our standard. Whenever we are confronted with a question about Christian practice, we must apply the teaching of the Bible. Sometimes the Bible will deal with it directly, and we must go by its direct teaching. Often the Bible will not deal with it directly, and then we must look for general principles to guide us. It does not matter what other people think. Their behavior is not a standard for us, but the Bible is a standard for us, and it is by the Bible that we must live. Plain reason number seven. God's true servants have always loved the Bible and lived on its teachings. God's true servants have always loved the Bible and lived on its teachings. The Bible is the book which all true servants of God have always lived on and loved. Every living creature needs food. When a sinner becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus, he needs spiritual food. That food is the Word of God. Just as a newborn child desires its mother's milk, so every truly converted person loves God's Word. So if someone despises Bible reading or thinks little of Bible preaching, I regard it as quite certain that he's not yet born again. The Old Testament believers loved God's Word. Just consider Job 23 and verse 12 and Psalm 119 verse 97. And let me read Job chapter 23 and verse 12. It says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. Amen. And Psalm 119 verse 97 says, Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Amen. The apostles loved God's word, for they and their companions were men mighty in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus himself loved the word. He read it publicly. He quoted it continually. He used it as his weapon against the devil. He said repeatedly, the scripture must be fulfilled. Almost the last thing he did on earth was to open the understanding of the disciples that they might understand the scriptures. Luke 24 and verse 45. Throughout Christian history, God's people have loved his word. All those whom God has used in the work of his kingdom have loved it. Wherever the gospel has gone, educated and uneducated people alike have learned to love God's word. This is something they have in common, even when they disagree about questions of church organizations and other such matters. When all God's people are finally gathered together in heaven, they will find that they have all been through the same experiences. They will all have been born of God's Spirit and pardoned through Christ's blood. And they will all have loved the Word of God and made it their food and delight during their pilgrimage on earth. Let me ask you again, what are you doing with God's Word? What are you doing with God's Word? Now, eighth and final plain reason. It is only the Bible which can comfort a dying man. It is only the Bible which can comfort a dying man. The Bible is the only book which can comfort a man when he is dying. Death is a solemn event which comes to us all. It marks the end of every opportunity for repentance and is the door either to heaven or to hell. Even for the Christian believer, death is solemn. In death, he is safe, for he belongs to Christ. But it is still solemn. We naturally shrink from it. To part from those we love, to go into another world, is not easy. It makes sense, then, for everyone to think calmly about how he is going to meet death when it comes. Let me tell you something about it. The best things in this world cannot comfort a dying man. Money can buy him the best medical attention, but it cannot buy him peace of heart and conscience. Relatives and friends cannot comfort him either. They can do their very best for his needs, but they cannot help his inward fears and troubled conscience. Books and newspapers cannot comfort him. However much he may have enjoyed them in life, in death they will be nothing to him. But there is one book which is a source of comfort, and that book is the Bible. Chapters of the Bible, verses from the Bible, truth drawn from the Bible, these are a man's only chance of comfort when he is dying. Of course, I cannot say that it will necessarily do him any good if he has never valued the Bible before. I have seen too many deathbeds to say that, says Jesse Ryle. I do not say whether the man who has neglected the Bible all his life is likely to get comfort from it in his death. But I do say that no dying man will get any real comfort anywhere else. I say that this truth applies to everyone without exception. It applies to kings as well as to the poor. It applies to the best educated as well as to the unlearned. I tell you plainly that although people seem to live comfortably without the Bible, not one of them will die comfortably without it. I have seen many people die, says J.C. Ryle, some with and some without comfort in death. But one thing I have never seen. I have never seen anyone enjoy real, solid, rational peace on his deathbed who did not get it from the Bible. This is the book I am speaking to you about, and I ask you for the last time, what are you doing with the Bible? What are you doing with the Bible? Now let me close by speaking plainly to the consciences of different kinds of people who may be listening to this sermon. The first thing, perhaps you can read, but never read the Bible at all. If this is your condition, I can speak no words of comfort to you, for you are in danger of losing your soul. Your neglect of the Bible is plain proof that you do not love God. A man with a healthy body has a healthy appetite, and a man with a healthy soul has an appetite for God's word. But you are obviously suffering a terrible spiritual disease. Will you not repent? I know I cannot reach your heart to make you see and feel these things, but I protest against your neglect of the Bible, and I appeal to your conscience to consider my protest. Don't leave it too late to repent. Don't put off reading the Bible till you are dying and then find that it means nothing to you when you need it the most. Don't go on saying, people do perfectly well without all this Bible reading. You will find to your cost that people do very badly and end in hell. Be careful you don't one day have to say, if only I had paid as much attention to the Bible as I did to other books and magazines and newspapers, I would not have been left without hope in my last hours of life. I have given you a plain warning. May God have mercy on your soul. And the second thing, perhaps you are willing to begin reading the Bible, but you need advice about it. Let me try to help you. Begin reading your Bible today. Good intentions are not enough. You must actually begin to read. Read the Bible with an earnest desire to understand it. Reading without understanding will do you no good. Read the Bible with childlike faith and humility. You must submit to it, not sit in judgment upon it. Read the Bible with the intention to obey it, applying it to yourself. It must affect the way you live your life. Read the Bible every day. You like to eat food daily, and the Bible is the food of your soul. Read the whole Bible and read it systematically. You have no right only to read your favorite portions. Interpret the Bible in a simple, straightforward manner. The simplest and most obvious interpretation is normally the correct one. Read the Bible with Christ constantly in mind. Even in reading the Old Testament, try to understand how it points forward to Him. I firmly believe that if you will act upon these principles, God will not let you misunderstand the way to heaven. And the third thing I want to say, perhaps you are someone who loves and believes the Bible, yet you don't read it very much. You are likely to get little comfort from the Bible in times of need, and you are likely never to become firmly grounded in the truth. Moreover, you are likely to make big mistakes in life, in your marriage, family life, relationship with others, and you are likely to be misled, at least for a time, by false teachers. It is not enough for you to read the Bible a little. You must read it a great deal. You must let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as Colossians 3:16 says. And the fourth thing I want to say, perhaps you are someone who reads the Bible a lot, but you are tempted to give up because you think it is doing you no good. Let me tell you that this temptation comes from the devil. The Bible may be doing you more good than you realize. It may be having an unseen effect upon your character and keeping you back from sins and errors which you would otherwise fall into. If you stop reading it, you may discover this at your cost. And the fifth thing I want to say, perhaps you really love the Bible, live on it, and read it a great deal. If so, then resolve to read the Bible more each year you live, to get it into your memory and your heart. When you are dying, you may be unable to read it, and it will be precious then to have it hidden in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 11. Resolve to be even more watchful over your habits of Bible reading each year you live, and to honor the Bible more in your family life. Resolve to meditate more on the Bible and to talk more to other believers about it. Finally, resolve to live by the Bible more and more. Let it be the test of everything you do, and be determined with God's help to be governed by it. May God bless his word to us today. Amen. Shall we pray? Our great God and Heavenly Father, once again we thank you, Lord, because you have given us your word. Thank you that your word, like you, O Lord, never changes. And thank you, Lord, that when we come to you in prayer, when we ask you, you help us by your Holy Spirit, and you open up your word to us. He who seeks shall find, and to him who knocks, the door shall be opened. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we read your word, as we study the scriptures, you pray, Father, that you will open up the scriptures and give us understanding. We pray, O Father, that you will help us to apply it in our lives, to live according to your will as it is revealed in scripture. We pray this, O Lord, to your glory, and we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.